So I managed to find time to get this in. I'm only back in LA for 3 days before I fly out to Japan, but that's how much I care about keeping you peeps up with things. On the podcast this week, more struggles emotionally, and I got to see my baby. Kinda. It's my unconventional life through a lens. I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. My name is Nigel McGuinness, and this is My Unconventional Life. It's a podcast, it's a journal, and in a way it is kind of a personal ad. But most of all, it's about navigating the treacherous waters of love, sex, and relationships in 2017. Sponsored by absolutely no one. Every week, I detail my own journey and discuss my own untraditional views and aspirations in that world. Whatever the topic, whoever the guest, it all comes back to one question. How do we best find and express love in 2017? I wasn't away for so long this week, but it still highlighted some potential issues between Erie and I when I am. And I'd noticed a few differences between us when we're together too, but they're probably not much of an issue. You know, just differences on how we view the idea of extraterrestrials, for example, or medicine. And I'm sure everyone has some things that they don't view the exact same way. I had chance to catch up with an old friend on the road this week too, and as always, he saw right into the real me, and gave me the epiphany that I'm a very open person, even with people I don't know at all. And that wasn't really the epiphany though. The epiphany was that I do it because I like to form rapport and feel close to people, and perhaps see everyone as a potential friend. But I think also it speaks to my non-monogamy, a desire to be open to pursuing any relationship, how it would naturally evolve, and not to keep things close and contained. On that topic, I read more of Conversations with God this week. And to be honest, my feeling just keeps getting stronger. In the book, he describes how hell is not some place you go to when you die, where you burn in eternity for decisions you made in your life. Hell is simply the opposite of joy in life. It's unfulfillment. And I quote, "It is knowing who and what you are and failing to experience that. That is hell, and there is none greater for your soul." So, like I said, traveling so much now has started to raise some issues. Harry's started to express concern about whether I'm going to be home enough to be with our kids. She said she wouldn't have had kids with someone who was going to be away all the time because she had that with her dad being a doctor and didn't want to put her kids through the same thing. Except just last week, she did say that if she hadn't met me, she would have had a kid with her ex-boyfriend who would have had limited involvement anyway, so surely I'm better than that. Then she also told me how she'd found out that there's more radiation on planes than having an x-ray, so if I was flying twice a week, I'd be at risk of getting cancer. Now, I looked up some studies on PubMed.gov and found that one flight is on average about the same as having an x-ray. But having two x-rays a week isn't good either. But what can I do? I mean, does that mean that everybody who travels that much, pilots, air stewardesses, and other wrestlers, are all going to die of cancer? Not really. I mean, it does raise the possibility, but about 3/4 of the radiation we get comes from breathing anyway, so I'm not sure how much more of a risk it is. And bottom line, worrying and stressing about it is likely just as bad for your health. Again, I guess it's just the hormones and being pregnant, but she does seem to be worrying about way more things than she used to. To be frank, it's quite disconcerting. And after I hung up with her, after talking to her on the road, I sat in my hotel room and felt truly unhappy. And things seemed to have gone way off track from what I'd hoped or envisioned. It was the first time ever that I had that sinking feeling in my stomach that we may have made a big mistake, and this isn't going to work out at all like I'd hoped. But then, a little while later, she texted me that she loved me and was excited about seeing our baby the next day, and that we need to put things in perspective and that other people have far bigger things to worry about than we do. And so that helped. The truth is, I really need a partner who'll be supportive, especially while I'm away, and not make me feel like I'm a bad person or put extra stress on me. But the truth is that part of that is my own deal. It's how I let people make me feel. And I need to get better, again, at accepting that I'm going to upset people sometimes, especially those I'm so intimately involved with. As Eri told me when I got back, sometimes, most times, I'm only a small part of it. It's something as much for them to deal with. I guess you've got to own how you feel, to some extent. Which brings me to another great blog that I read this week by Mark Manson. MarkManson.net. You should really check it out. In this blog, he talked about how emotions are really just reactions to how your expectations compare to reality. And life is about how you channel those emotions. And he said it's not about trying to avoid certain emotions either. Some people, he went on, who always seem to be happy, struggle with life just as much. And what the statistics show is that being emotionally diverse is really the best approach to living a happier, more fulfilling life. Firstly, because if you allow yourself to experience emotions, you'll find it easier to make changes to move forward away from negative feelings. And secondly, it'll give you the insight to know that whatever you're feeling now, like the saying goes, this too shall pass. Now, I'm much better at this than I used to be, but clearly, I can still benefit from doing some more work on it. I've known this for a long time. A relationship can either make you or break you. It can be the best thing or the worst. Or oftentimes, it can drag you between either end of that spectrum. If you let it. And I guess that's the point. And speaking of emotions, I got to see Baby Frog this week. I think. I went to Aerie's first OBGYN appointment to confirm the pregnancy and do an ultrasound. And it was quite an experience. I couldn't really make out exactly what I was looking at. It looked more like just a moving blob. But the doctor pointed out the heartbeat that, again, I seem to miss. But all in all, I tell you, it did make me feel a little scared. It's just such a little fragile thing, and I'm responsible for it. I think I'll feel a lot happier when it looks like an actual human being. Anyway, I'm going to upload this before I head off to Japan, and I will have 5 hours when I get back next week to get home, change, repack, and get on the road again, so I'm hoping I'll be able to tape something in that time too. Either way, you will hear from me very soon, so stick with me. Thank you. My Unconventional Life 2016 at gmail.com. No one is ever going to write. Anyway, until next week, I will bid you adieu and see you then. That's another week gone. What have I learned? And what peace have I found? Cheers for taking the time to listen to the podcast. Drop me a line at myunconventionallife2016@gmail.com if you have comments or questions. And if you like the show and know someone else who might get something out of it, tell a friend. I will be back next week with a week's worth of thoughts and emotions and hopefully some joy. But until then, wherever you are and whoever you're with, try to be kind. To others, but as much to yourself. We're all fighting our own battle. Lead with love.